Okay, so we're in the midst of talking about spiritual gifts and just reminding us all about how we play our part, that we need to find our own fit as the people of God and therefore be able to flourish in what it is. Now, I have turned it down behind the back, it's all right. Be able to know how to flourish in that. So in the midst of these whatever weeks we're going to take doing this, as the series moves on, we will give out tools during this time to be able to help each one of us to not only identify truly what is our spiritual gift, but actually how to then build upon that, So this morning, I want to talk about the spiritual gift of prophecy, but I'm not going to teach us how to do it. There's not enough time today. You know, it's already 11 o'clock. There's not enough time to do it on a Sunday morning. Because the whole idea of the gift of prophecy really has to start off learning how to hear from God properly. And that's the whole thing. Because often we can think we've heard from God, give out a word that is, we think is a prophetic word for somebody, really was last night's dinner. Yeah? And so often what we think is a prophetic word is actually a word of knowledge. And they are very, very different things. A word of knowledge identifies or diagnoses a situation or a present need or a response. The reality is a lot of what we hear as being said as prophetic is actually a word of knowledge. And so anyway, there's a whole big thing there, but that's what I'm not here to talk about. So this is not a teach on how to operate, but this is actually what it's about. So I want to talk today, it's Spiritual Gifts Part 2, To Utter. That's what we've called it, that's what I've called it this morning. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11 for the sake of this morning. And so it says this, this is in the NLT. It says this, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. I nearly said the ability to interrupt. Verse 11, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So there we have one portion of Scripture that talks about these nine manifestations of the Spirit. So here we go. We have tongues. We have interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, healings, and the workings of miracles. So those are nine, first of all, spiritual gifts that we're going to look at and talk about. But there is a whole raft of others that we will talk about and address, and then look at how, as individuals, we can identify that which is upon us, because it's upon each one of us. The spiritual gifts are upon each one of us. What it says, remember what it said at verse 11 there, is it is the one and only Spirit, talking about Holy Spirit, who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift. Listen to this, each person. If you are here, you're an each person. If you are a Christian believer, you are an each person. Each person should have. This is a reality. Every one of us has spiritual gifts on our lives. End of story. We need to identify what it is on our lives so that we best function in those places for the benefit of the whole. The spiritual gift that is on my life, or the gifts on my life, are not for the benefit of me. The spiritual gifts on your lives are not for the benefit of you as an individual. They are for the benefit of all of us. So therefore, the best thing we can do is identify, find out what is on us so that we can actually, in the recognizing of that, we can improve our function in that realm for the benefit of the whole. So it takes it puts a certain amount of rightful And hear me right, rightful pressure on each one of us to find out what's on ourselves and then to flow in what is on ourselves for the sake of one another. It is for my benefit that you, as an individual, find out from God what is on your life to do. It is for your benefit that I found out what is on my life for me to do. And it is a two-way, multi-way thing that goes on. So whatever, how many numbers of us are in here today, imagine if all of us truly know what our spiritual gift is or gifts are on our lives and we truly do flow on those. Imagine the incredible benefit that is to one another. So the nine gifts of the Spirit can be divided into three groups of three in each one of them. Gifts that say something, first of all, or the utterance gifts. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy. The gifts that reveal something, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning spirits. And gifts that do something, faith, healings, workings, and workings of miracles. And the purpose of these gifts that we're talking about for this sake of these nine is to build up the church of God. That is the sake of, that is the reason for them. To edify, which means to build up. To exhort, which means to stir up. To comfort, which means to cheer up. If you're feeling miserable, there's nothing like the word, the comforting edification of something that comes upon you, the comforting word that comes to you that makes you go, oh yeah, it's okay, I feel all right now. Yeah? And obviously to bring direction to the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts, we should never ever forget that the spiritual gifts are manifestation of Holy Spirit working through our lives. And all of these gifts belong to the church and are therefore made visible and operate through Spirit-filled Christian believers and are for the benefit of others. So it's vitally important to understand that they operate through all believers and not just a selected few, and are not necessarily a permanent thing in somebody's life or any particular person, but operate as the Spirit wills for a particular occasions. That is their purpose. A spiritual gift can come and go. They can come and go because the spiritual gift needs to operate at the right time for the right person in the right situation. That's just how it operates. But we can still primarily have, still our lives can be dominated by spiritual gifts. So you may have a spiritual gift of hospitality, but for a situation, God might come upon you and you might have a spiritual gift of prophecy. But it may not be the thing that rests on you. So talking about prophecy just because you can prophesy does not mean you have the ministry of being a prophetic person. It means you can just prophesy. Being a prophet is a whole different ball game that we're not here to talk about today. So these three utterance gifts, the gifts of tongues has two outworkings. First of all, it enables us to pray from our inner self, our spirit man, directly to God without the engagement of our brain. Who finds that incredibly useful? I find that incredibly useful. The fact that the gift of tongues allows me from my spirit man to rise up and to pray in tongues connects with the Spirit of God, builds me up on the inside in my brain with all its irregularities and et cetera, does not get in the way. A wonderful thing. Also, there's the gift, also when we talk about the operation of tongues is the situation in a public operation. Now, we don't have this occur a lot, and it doesn't happen a lot anymore for whatever reasons in our Pentecostal charismatic churches, but in the midst of worship, somebody may stop at a quiet time and speak out in a loud voice with a message that is in a other tongue. And the identifying factor that it is a genuine thing of the Holy Spirit will be that there will be somebody in the congregation who has the gift of interpretation who will give what the actual message that has been given in another tongue is actually saying. There are umpteen stories about people being in all sorts of situations. Someone gives out a message in tongues in another language that is unknown to anybody else there, and somebody in that crowd actually knows that language and understands what is being said by somebody, particularly for them. Just a moment. But I'm not going to spend any more time on that, because I want to talk about the gift of prophecy, just touch on a very few things. So the gift of prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue, in a known language. We can also say that it is God-given ability to bring in our own language a message directly from the heart of God. So the Hebrew word for prophecy means to flow forth, and it implies to bubble forth like a fountain, or to spring forth, to bring the things of God bubbling out and bringing them forth. It means to speak for God or be his spokesperson. So when someone prophesies to us, it's either the pizza they had last night, or they've actually heard properly from God, and God is speaking through them and giving a word to other people. God speaking to us. It's not the words of a man or a woman, but the words from God. We could also say that prophecy is the merging of the divine, which means the nature of God, and the human nature, bringing a message to people. Prophecy is God speaking through us. Always remembering this, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are always for the common good of the church as a whole, especially when we consider what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5, the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Corinth, and he brings these words of wisdom to them, and he says this: I wish you all could speak in tongues, but even more I wish you could all prophesy. So here we go, the great man, the greatest writer of in the New Testament, brings these words to the church of Corinth, who were in a mess, saying, I wish you could all speak in tongues, because he understood the incredible benefit that it is. I would encourage you, if you are a born-again Christian, a believer, and you have yet to receive the gift of praying in tongues, you know what? Ask God for it. Because you know what? The more you pray in tongues, it builds you up on the inside. It does a supernatural thing on the inside and empowers you from the inside. So he says, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying, so that the whole church will be strengthened. So it's for the whole church to be strengthened. Paul clearly desired that the church, the believers as a whole, to speak in tongues and to prophesy. And when we look at these three gifts of utterance, I guess the most controversial and most misunderstood of all of them is prophecy. Fact. It is really is controversial at times and very misunderstood. So let's just say a few things. The whole church is edified and strengthened, or lifted up, when the true prophetic gift begins to function and to operate. And we must never, I've already said that, the fact that someone prophesies does not necessarily make him or her a prophet. The Bible tells us to covet prophecy, to actually cover it, to believe for it. That means to earnestly desire it. It's a spiritual gift. All the spiritual gifts we should earnestly desire if they are God's intentions for us to operate in. And because someone prophesies does not automatically mean that which is said will necessarily come to pass, because often prophecy is conditional. So let me give you an example. I could stand up the front and I could stand in front of you, and I could pick one of you out, and I could speak a word over you that I believe to be correct. That, you know what, you will become a, you know, great person of God. You will lead multiple congregations around the world. You'll be known for your incredible gift that's on your life. Blah, 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 blah. Which could all be exactly correct. God actually speaking through me to you. And you go, yes, I witness with that. But let me tell you what, something here. It is totally conditional. It will only come to pass if you continue to keep your life aligned with those things that are the requirements of God upon your life. So God could say, well, you're destined for great things as an incredible sports person, and you will touch the lives of many people around the world. And you go, hey, good, I can just sit down and God's going to do it for me. No. It will only happen, and it's conditional, if you do what is necessary. If you keep on lining your life up with that which God is requiring of you in your life, then those things will come to pass. There are prophecies that are totally non-conditional. Things about Jesus, about the return of Christ, you know, there's a whole lot of things like that that are non-conditional. So, because of time, we just need to look at a few things. We need to understand how to judge prophecy. Because if someone comes to you and says to you, God is telling me this about you, what I would say to you, go, well then, not just say that, don't go, speak to the hand, because the face ain't looking. I mean, actually just go in yourself, go, okay, hang on a second. First of all, by their fruits, we shall know them. Judge the fruit. Judge because, you know, if some random person comes to you and prophesies over you, don't automatically just receive it as actually that is, thus says the Lord, this is the word of God, his intentions for you. In fact, if you don't know them from a bar of soap, actually be really, really careful about it. In fact, be very circumspect of that whole scenario of an unknown coming to you and going, whoa, I have a word from the Lord from you. You don't know them from... Next thing is this. You know, and with all things that come from, if any one of us say to you, the Lord is saying this, listen. And we say, back in the old days, put it on the shelf, file it up on the shelf, leave it there, and then, you know what? It'll come to pass if it's God's intentions. Yeah, put it up on the shelf. Don't, that's what God said. Well, it may not have been what God said. Second one is this, does it glorify Jesus Christ? Does it actually bring glory to Christ, that which is being supposedly being prophesied over you? Next one is this. Does the actual principle of it agree with Scripture? Is there actually a correct biblical lining up in what is being said to you that actually aligns with the things of God? We need to realize that that some prophecies are not necessarily from God, but they inevitably still come to pass. That's just a fact of the spiritual realm. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, it's not right. If it comes to pass, but it leads you away from Christ, it simply is not right. If it doesn't glorify God at all, if it leads you away from Christ, it ain't from God. It may be a prophecy. I could prophesy all sorts of things over any one of you. But it doesn't mean to say that they are of God. And they are right of God. That's why we need to be very careful when we are hearing from God that we discern, is this a word of knowledge that identifies something, or is this a word of prophecy that God is wanting to bring into a situation? And that's a whole another teaching to that. Next one is this. Does the prophecy or prophecies produce liberty, or do they... Does it produce bondage in your life? If it produces liberty, that is from God. If it brings bondage, immediately I'm all captured in it. You know what? Just chuck it away. It's not of God. Next one. When prophecy is right, there should be a yes and amen right in your spirit, right on the inside. There should be an inner witness of knowing on the inside that lets you know that the prophecy is accurate. It shouldn't be like, never heard of that, never thought of that one before. Or clang, bang, crash. But it should go, yes, yes, that is right. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 says this, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. This is in the Amplified Version. Each one of us has an anointing to hear from God. If we are born again, Christian believers, we have an anointing on our life to hear from God. You have been set apart, specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit. That goes for every one of us. That's for every one of us. You have been set apart and you have been prepared by Holy Spirit. And all of you know the truth because he teaches us. Listen to this. He illuminates our minds and guards us from error. How does he guard us? From an internal witness. You will know when something is just a load of nonsense. You will know if something is right because it will go resound in you or it go clang in you. Here's some earmarks of genuine prophecy. Genuine prophecy is given for confirming and encouraging. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31. In this way, all who prophesy will have a turn to speak one after the other so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. That's in the context of in a congregational context. Genuine prophecy will build up, stir up, and it will cheer up. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 3 and 4. But one who prophesies, listen to this, strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. Genuine prophecy will never contradict the principles of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Let me say this as clearly as I can. We must never, ever allow personal prophecy to take over the place of the Scriptures, the place of prayer, the place of godly counsel, and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. Prophecy can never... You know what? If we are going after something because somebody has prophesied it over our lives, yet it doesn't ring a bell as a biblical thing, if you have not immersed it in prayer, if you have not gone and sought godly counsel, not just counsel from anybody you can find around, but real respected counsel that you respect. See, the trouble is with counsel is this. We can go and talk to people until we find the right answer that we are wanting to hear. And often the real answer is not actually what we want to hear, but what we actually need to hear. Even when we go, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. What are we doing now? 5 minutes. Okay. If you are in a situation, you're hearing from God, you believe you're hearing from God, and you are believing that God is speaking to you and you may have a word for somebody, can I just give you some advice on, just very quickly, just a one little thing, on dishing it out to people. Please never say, God has told me that you are to blah, blah, blah. Hedge it in things like, you know what, I might have a message from you and I believe it could be from God, but just have this, you know, hedge it a bit differently. Never say, thus says the Lord. Brother Mick, you are going to be the Prime Minister after you are the Mayor of Waltham Abbey. I mean, that's a load of nonsense, isn't it? If someone gives you a word that you're unsure of, the right loving thing you can do is to examine, to weigh it and judge it carefully while kindly and openly communicating with that person giving and receiving the word. If you feel you must disagree or even question a prophecy, be honest as possible and do it with humility. Like someone says something to you and it goes, and you're thinking on the inside of you, what a load of nonsense, rubbish, or something else that's quite nice for a Sunday morning. Say, thank you for what you're saying to me, but you know what, thank you. It really has no witness with me at all. But thank you so much for it. And just leave it there. Don't argue with people. Don't get into a fight with somebody. Just be respectful and say, God bless you, thank you. And if somebody does that, and if you'll give out a word and somebody goes, look, that was a load of... If it's from me, you'll know what I'll say, because I've just told you what I'll say. No, I would not say that, actually. I would say, thank you, it doesn't witness with me. If you are the person who has given it out, don't crash, don't get into depression, don't think God is never talking to you again, don't think you are somebody who's a really silly, silly person. You know what? We are all on a process of learning. We are walking, and you know what? If we cannot be safe with one another, if we are part of Lee Valley Church, we are drawn here by a common love for the Lord and a love for one another. And if we cannot be forbearing with one another because they make a huge mess up, so you are the most forbearing people in the whole world that I know. Because I stand in front of you and I talk to you. And you take what I say and you take it on board. But we need to be that same way, forbearing to one another. Because we are all in a journey of learning. And saying all of this, it's vital for us who are in leadership to show compassion as we guide. See, the real hard part for us who are in leadership is this. If somebody comes up the front and gives a message and a prophetic word that is right off the wall, it is my responsibility, or anybody else who I can point to at that time, who is on part of the leadership team, to say, guys, we've got to address this and we have to do it publicly, because it's been given out publicly, heard publicly, and if it's right off the wall, we've actually got to say, guys, please do not act on that. That is not of God. And that is such a... please don't do that to us, eh? But feel free to prophesy. If you've never prophesied before, begin to seek the Lord for this wonderful gift if you believe God is gifting you in that way. Don't abuse it. Use it correctly so that God will be glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Let us seek and search after. Let us listen to the Spirit of God. There would truly be people that would love God, love others, help people find their fit and flourish in the flow that's upon us, eh?
Amen.
Let's stand, shall we? Can we have the worship team?